keep this frequency clear.
But guess what? You don't get to tell me when I can stop speaking. Well,
tune in to Queering the Air.
Report on trans and intersex issues with accuracy, dignity, and respect.
Podcast edition, and therefore, sorry, no music.
Change the narrative rather than combat the narrative.
I know who I am. Took me 20 years to get here. I'm not going to let some idiot senator destroy that.
3CR Community Radio.
Our stories are best told when we are the ones telling them. It helps combat the perpetuation of stereotypes, misinformation, and lies.
I discovered in the face of overwhelming prejudice and persecution an incredible strength through being fiercely fabulous.
Welcome to Queering the Air, Sundays from 3 to 4 on 3CR. 3CR is proud to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which we transmit people-powered radio. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
Welcome to Queering the Air, and indeed, it always has and always will be Aboriginal land. You are on air with us today with myself, Atlas. I use he, she, and they pronouns. We're also with...
Madison Moffat. And my pronouns are she and her.
Thank you, Madison. And we're also here with...
Oscar! They and he pronouns for me, thanks.
Amazing. Well, welcome to Queering the Air on this lovely Sunday afternoon. We're going to start off today with a quick word from 3CR.
3CR's annual Radiothon fundraiser is almost here.
This June, we'll be asking for your donations to support 3CR.
Your donation during Radiothon keeps the station radical and enables us to give voice to our community for another year.
All donations over $2 are tax deductible.
3CR Radiothon is coming. Show your support by donating this June.
3CR, your station, your voice.
Thank you for that, 3CR. We do indeed have Radiothon coming up. And as always, we ask that if you've got the ability, if you have the want, please do donate to us so we can keep the airwaves radical and we can keep queering the air online.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So this Sunday, we're going to start off our Queering the Air program with...
Meow 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 meow.
Meow 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 meow. Yay!
Yay! Sorry. What was that section again?
Called I'm not sure. It's
called something like woof meow 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 meow.
Meow 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 meow. Yay! Yay! Yay!
Yay! Meow 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 meow.
Yeah, so this is our section, which is sometimes affectionately known as meow 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 meow, but better known as what's going on.
What's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Oompa oompa-dee-doo.
So what is going on this week, Mads? Do you have anything to report?
I have nothing to report.
You have nothing to report at all?
Nothing to report.
Wow, okay.
Nothing to report.
Wow.
But Fruity Loops is on.
Fruity Loops is indeed on this evening in a Footscray at Littlefoot Bar.
Which is on Barclay Street.
It's on Barclay Street, indeed. It's a little cute queer gathering of queer folk. There are some crafties to do. There are some crafties to drink. There are some...
Drinking crafties?
Drinking crafties.
Crafties, craft beer.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's only just clicked for you, no, hasn't it?
Just completely over
just
the head,
straight over your head today. That's okay. That's right.
And then back into the back of the head.
Is it staying there?
Yeah.
Can you recall it?
No. Recall yeah. What? Recall what? Oompa, oompa-dee-doo.
Yeah, we do have Fruity Loops on this evening. There is also next Saturday and Sunday afternoons from 11 a.m. the Coburg Makers Market.
Excellent.
Which has a quite a bit of crossover with the stallholders of gay stuff markets.
So, yes.
Quite a few lovely trans and queer artists will be displaying their wares at 69 Charles Street in Coburg.
Lovely.
And I also want to spruik TGD Book Club, which was on yesterday and is on the second Saturday of every month, 1 till 2:30. Well, 1 until we don't want to be there anymore, really. So come along. Come along to 200 Hoddle Street. Giving you the heads up now so you can read the book before before you come.
Oh, so when is the next meeting of the TGD Book Club?
It is on June 14th.
June 14th? At what time again?
1 until 2:30. Get there. But also, it doesn't matter what time you get there. You can be as late as you want.
I love that. That is a good way to be in the queer community. I think arrive when you're able to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's from, that was 1 o'clock.
From 1 o'clock at Thorn Harbour at 200 Hoddle Street.
Wonderful. And that's on the
14th of June.
14th of June. We're just repeating these details so you can have time to write them down.
Yeah. What is also on the 14th of June is the Archer Studio and Archer Magazines season number 21. Which is the art issue. And so they're having a bit of a launch on the 14th of June at 7:30 p.m.
Beautiful.
And tickets can be had at events@humanitix.com. Yes.
What a wonderful day for literary nerds. Yeah. You could go to the book club and then, you know, spend your evening with Archers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Writers' Festival and Queer Writers' Festival after that. It's writing season in Melbourne.
It's writing season.
It's writing season in Melbourne. And I know that you are a writer, Oscar, aren't you?
I do write.
You do. That makes you a writer.
Ipso facto.
Ipso facto. All right. Do we have any other events that are going on, pals? Anything we want to spruik?
Well, you know, I'm of a rather literary nature, as you know, so I'm also aware of the QLit Festival, Day of Books, that's happening in, again, this is in June, but on Saturday the 21st of June from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 81 Fitzroy Street, St. Kilda.
Wonderful.
Our human soundboard.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. It's the best in queer literature to fill your bookshelf. And it's a one-stop shop, as they say, for uncovering the best and most locally written works from the LGBTQIA plus community.
Love that.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
They're going to have a youth workshop at 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. So that's pretty cool. Apparently it's a gamified youth workshop for youth to fuel their creative writing. I know a bit about gamifying things, but yeah.
You do?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have to, when you're doing corporate training and that, you have to sort of, you can't do the old-fashioned, you know, lecture presentation style anymore. It's got to be interactive.
It does. It does. Otherwise, how do you keep your audience captive?
Yes. keep your training captive by keeping your audience interactive.
Thank you for that, Mads.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, this has been...
Meow 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 meow. Woof. Meow 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 meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow. So that's been what's going on.
It's just Madison looking at me and making the noises, just knowing that she's getting me every single time. I love it.
I'm glad. So we are going to throw to a little bit of a ditty now. This is a track by Sig Sig Sputnik, and it's called Frankenstein Cha-Cha.
As this is the podcast version, this music is not part of the recording.
Welcome back to Queering the Air. That was... Frankenstein Cha-Cha by Zig Zig Sputnik.
The world's greatest band ever.
According to Madison.
According to Madison.
Speaking of Madison.
Speaking.
Madison had a little bit of a trip this week.
I did. I dropped a few tabs.
You would.
Where is the kill switch? Oh, my goodness. No, you took
one pill makes you taller and one pill makes you small.
Still on it.
Yeah. Now I'm really showing my age there. Circa 1968, that one.
Oh, no, I've seen recent drag to that song, actually.
Oh,
so,
yeah, cool.
Yeah, it's still hanging around.
That would kick on at a drag act.
Oh, definitely. It really does. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So, no, the actual trip that you took was to see a little bit of a sport. What sport were you watching, Mads?
Of all things, 10-pin bowling.
10-pin bowling?
Yes, people playing with balls to knock over pins.
Mm.
You had me at playing with balls.
I know. That's why I said it.
Oh, my first day paneling and this is all happening too quick.
What's great is that Atlas's arms are so short they can't actually reach the kill switch.
It's true.
Yes, so 10-pin bowling. And so there's a thing called the 69ers 10-pin bowling league.
Do I need the kill switch for that one?
Well, that's the thing. So there was a bit where, you know, I tried to encourage people to tactfully describe why called the 69ers in the hope that perhaps the answer was something different. And let's say that part of the interview is not going to be played on air.
Wonderful. I certainly won't be allowing it to happen.
No. So, yes, but, you know, tongue-in-cheek nonetheless, in terms of their name, it just seems to be a group of people who have found community through something that, you know, quite frankly, stereotypically, you know, heteronormatively, is considered to be quite butch, right?
Absolutely.
You know, a butch and hetero butch at that. And instead they found themselves gathered as a group, caring for each other, you know, so it's not just about the sport, encouraging each other. And, it just seems to be rather inclusive. They are wanting more trans people joining as well. So that's an aim of theirs. They're not quite there yet, but they've actually been struggling over the years to maintain membership. And so I just think that this would be an awful shame if this league was to fold. They're at the moment, they're still up, they're still here, and they're still queer. So I thought it was a voice that was worthwhile amplifying.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, 100%. So without further ado, I'm going to give those voices some airtime.
Thank you all.
Yo, we're Madison Moffat, the 3CR, and I'm here with the president of the bowling league known as the 69ers. And give me your name and your pronouns, please.
I'm Ryan, and my pronouns are the.
Could you describe to me, what do you think is particularly unique? It's very obvious to me it is unique, just being here for a few minutes.
Mm.
But what would you say is particularly unique about the 69ers and what it offers to the community?
Yeah, well, we're the only league, and I think in Australia, that has a gay and lesbian league. And am I right, Chris? We're the only league in Australia.
Second.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, there's one in Sydney. Well, there you go. I did not know that. But in Melbourne itself, we're the only ones that offer, I guess, a safe space for anyone that welcomes the gay and lesbian community and trans as well. So we cover, basically the LGBTQIA community. So and it's been running for 40 years. So that's pretty significant effort, and it's going to keep going.
So, you know, on a basic personal level,
mm-hmm.
How does being part of this league make you feel?
Well, I feel I belong. I think it's because I identify as gay, and I can actually, it's not just, we share a mutual love, especially Chris and I share a mutual love of bowling.
Yep.
Now, Chris has been my teammate for a couple of seasons now, and even though there may be an age difference, we can still relate in some ways, and we get along quite well. And a lot of the players here have been with the league for like many years. We probably had to hide part of ourselves, especially our identity as such, because our sexuality is part of our identity. So, yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to, like, code yourself.
No.
One way or another.
No. Like, see, before... this is something I don't know if you want to mention it, but Chris and I used to talk very dirty to each other before I got into a partnership. So, you know, we would say... And, like, it's just... And we would... And we can actually... in public embrace and hug each other.
Yes.
And it feels it's fine. It's accepted. So yeah.
Absolutely.
So yeah.
So does the league consist of people competing with each other within the league, or do
yes.
you also compete with other leagues?
No, we compete against each other. And
yes.
yeah, and so, then yeah, so we do that for 40 weeks, the bowling season. And yeah, then we get, you know, trophies at the end of it, so yeah.
Well, Chris King, I'm basically a he, him, yeah. whatever you like to call it. But definitely gay.
Definitely gay?
Yeah.
No question about that.
Oh, no. Not the last time I had sex, anyway.
Fair enough. So, I hear that you're somewhat of a veteran of the club.
Oh, well. Well, I have been here since 2015.
Oh, yes.
When I came back, I always knew about 69ers' existence,
yes.
but it wasn't until I came back from living in the country that I decided to get back into bowling after almost 20 years away from it. So this, I thought, was the perfect fit for me.
What do you reckon is the most satisfying thing about being part of a league like this, for you personally?
Well, it's just with the lovely people that you meet up with. You know, no matter whether you're gay, lesbian, straight, intersex, whatever, they'll all come together like a family. And that is usually the best part about it. I don't know many sports where you could have that and actually be part, you know, in a sporting arena anywhere in the country.
So the most satisfying thing about it for you personally, So it's being around, it's felt like-minded people.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that's the best thing about being involved in a sport like this.
Yes.
Because you just get anyone can come in or get along well, so friendly and welcoming to each other.
Yeah.
No matter who you are.
You've been around for a bit now.
Mm.
Is there anything that's changed about the league?
Not really that much about it. I mean, we have a lot of players that come and go each season,
yeah.
so we always look for ways to try and attract new bowlers to come into the league.
What would you say was, if there was one thing in particular that you wanted our listeners to know about the history of the league, what would it be?
Well, this league has been around since, since a group of guys from the Laird decided to meet up every week and bowl at Southern Cross, and they did that on a regular basis, and it came a league, I think, around 83. It was basically where it developed and what it's been ever since. But, you know, the thing about it, you can have anyone come here. You don't have to be a good bowler or a bad bowler or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just more the social aspect of it.
Yeah, I've noticed, you know, that you can celebrate when somebody does really well.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't seem to be about that at all.
Oh, I don't know about that. Some people do it differently, some people don't. But we always encourage each other all the time.
Thank you very much, Chris, for your time.
Oh, not a problem. Anytime.
I have none other than the General Secretary of the 69ers 10th Ponpin Bowling League, Politburo, with me.
Oh, gosh.
Please give me your name and your pronouns as an introduction.
It's Joe or Joanne, or I'm being commonly known as Mama Joe.
Lovely.
And it's she, her.
Lovely. Thank you. So what would you say is the key thing for you personally about being part of a league of this kind? What makes it, say, the most satisfying?
I think it's the people and the camaraderie. I've been with this league for over 20 years on and off.
Yep.
In various roles. I started as treasurer, I've been secretary, I stopped for a while, I had kids, I come back as secretary, treasurer, So I've been on the committee for about 11 years. This is my first year back after a break during the COVID season. But I think it's just a really fun environment to be in.
Yeah,
it is sporting, but it does appear to be fun focused. You know, rather, it's not to say there's no competition here, but that doesn't seem to be the key reason why you've gathered.
No, we do get pretty competitive at the end of the year to see who's on top of the ladder. But at this stage, it's early in the season and league can scare people. So we're still rebuilding. After COVID, we lost a few.
Yes.
And we've also lost a few with serious matters. We've had a couple of people die of AIDS. We've had a couple of suicides through the league. Right. We've always all tried to rally around one another, make sure each other's got support if they're feeling that way. There's a few members that aren't bowling, but they're still here with us, that we actually still catch up and have parties and barbecues and lunches and stuff as well. So it has been, as much as it is a sporting league and a competition, it does build great friendships.
Yeah.
And community that lasts regardless of whether someone's continuing with the sport.
Correct. So I was just at a friend's 50th, I think it was last year now, and he hasn't bowled for a few years, but we all get invited to all the parties and celebrate, just like, you know, it was every week.
If there was one thing about this league, what is it that you would want our listeners to know?
Well, the 69ers have been going for over 40 years.
Yes.
They started way back in the 80s when it was at Southern Cross. I think it's the top of Burke Street from memory.
Right.
When it was really underground and the gay society wasn't popular, so to speak.
No.
So, you know, it was still against the law and everything else. So it was very like prohibition almost.
Yes.
So it's came here, I think, in the late 80s. And traditionally it was actually full gay. There was no one else.
Right.
So now it's become very inclusive. So there's gay, straight, trans, everyone in between are quite welcome. People of all, you know, nationalities, denominations, and even the level of sport. You don't have to bowl to want to join. We'll take anybody. When I started, I was bowling with another league called the Challenge League. We used to sell raffle tickets. So the guys from the 69ers used to sell raffle tickets, and then the Challenge League used to sell raffle tickets to everyone along the lane. So even our league, when it was a straight league, also was very invited and inclusive of the 69ers. But I think as they lost members due to death, illness, and just people moving away out of the area, I think they realised they needed to be more inclusive, otherwise it would fold. And it'd be such a shame to see it fold, because as I said, it's been 40 years of history of the 69ers, starting when, you know, it was kind of taboo to be gay.
Oh, wonderful historical background there. Thanks for your time.
You're quite welcome. I'll go back and have some more bowling now.
Hello, my name's Janice Coffey. For me, it's a really good social outlet, you know, apart from work. And, you know, I've made quite a few friends down here, and it's just really fun to sort of get to know, meet up with everyone each week. And
yeah, I mean, that's the point, isn't it? I mean, it's a gathering.
Yeah, very much so. And the thing I like about the 69ers is everyone's welcome, you know, like, doesn't matter what race you are or what gender. And that's been like terrific. There aren't really that many groups around that I would probably feel comfortable joining. But this is just so much fun, and you know, I enjoy bowling and makes all the difference. I have made one really good friend that I occasionally see outside of work from here. Years ago, when I first joined, I was given a bowling ball,
yeah.
And I thought, when I've been out with other friends at the time. I was really hopeless, and I thought if I could join a group and get some practice in, and then I won't look like such a loser when I play with them again. So I heard on Joy 94 point something, five, and about the 69ers, and they were looking for players. So I came in and I was given like, I was able to play for free, you know, just to see if I liked it and wanted to join. And yeah, so, I mean, I'm not the best bowler. I'm still hopeless, but it's fun. And that.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, yeah, again, it's not about the skill set, is it? It's about the community.
No, that's right. And nobody cares if you get 10 gutter balls or, yeah, you know, like how you dress, how you, you know, present yourself. You know, it's just all fun and, yeah, very sociable. And I'd recommend it to anyone who's, you know, a bit, you know, get them out of the house.
Yeah. Yeah, it's difficult these days to find an opportunity to get out of
there. Yeah, well, see, for me, apart from work, a lot of my friends have moved into state, and that, and so this is my social outlet, and you know, so yeah, so I have made one good friend that I would see outside of here, and the rest, such as the team I'm playing with tonight, it's just more they're more like acquaintances.
Yeah.
And that, but it doesn't matter, you know, we all hug each other and I don't kiss them. Well, some of them maybe, but no, not all. Anyway.
Well, it's been a pleasure getting your perspective on it. I think it's really important to hear from the players, right? You can't have the committee constantly telling us what it's like. You've got to hear it from the players, right?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for having me. It's lovely to meet you, Madison.
Same. Thanks for your time.
Okay. Take care and come on, everyone. Let's roll.
You're with Madison Moffat on 3CR, and I'm with a player of the 69ers.
Correct. Greg, how are you going?
Good.
Everyone gets a bit, like when they say league, ooh, everyone must be good.
Yeah,
so we have no regulations on what the skill level is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't really care, we're just here to have fun. So, so it's good, really good. 25 years I've been bowling. It's obviously shrunk a little bit, you know, and more people that come down, the better, really.
What do you reckon would be the key satisfying thing for you, personally?
Oh, just having fun, really. You know, a good bunch of people, just love it. I like bowling. Well, bowling, obviously.
Yeah,
so good.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, so.
Thanks for your time.
No worries, thank you.
Thank you for that, Mads. Sounds like you had a lot of really good discussions.
Yes.
Yes.
About a topic I know very little about.
69ing.
No, 10-pin bowling. And furthermore, sport generally.
Sport generally. Yeah, I think it's not a thing that a lot of queers are into. But then again, maybe that's just the queers I hang around with.
Well, I think it's also, I think that's the thing. 10-pin bowling, you can see it is far more communal.
Mm.
And everyone gets a go. And, you know, you literally have your turns. So when I was doing the interviewing, I had to stop on so many occasions because it was the interviewee's turn. So everyone's getting a go. You know, you're doing your best. And I don't think I saw a single time where somebody had a gutter ball and someone even said anything, except for me. I went, oh, gutter ball, and realised, whoops, no, that's not.
That's not in the etiquette
that's
at all.
I'm already an outsider.
I mean, for sure. I mean, I think I would cheer for a gutter ball. It would be like, yeah, I threw it.
Yeah.
I actually got it down the aisle and I didn't go with it.
Yeah.
I would need bumpers. I can't bowl. Every ball would be a gutter ball in my hands.
Mm. Were there bumpers, Madison?
No. So if you got a gutter ball, you got a gutter ball.
Amazing. So if you don't have aim, you just don't have aim.
No, that's it.
Yeah, wonderful.
But when it came to Janice, she actually did have a gutter ball before I interviewed her.
Mm.
And yet she then had a strike and she claims that I'm the one that gave her good luck.
I'd believe it. I'd believe it, Max. Yeah. Yeah. It sounded like a really close-knit community.
Yeah, and I think that one thing that struck me about it is there is a history, and there were people who have been part of that history that are still part of the group.
Mm.
So that's rare.
Very.
And they had also been through quite a lot. So they have lost members to AIDS. Mm-hmm. They've lost members to COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Both in terms of people just dropping off because of COVID and people, you know, who whose lives ended due to COVID. You know, and like just about any organization that's trying to maintain queer community, they are struggling post-COVID because there does seem to be this general trend of people congregating less in real life post-COVID.
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and so there's that history of loss. There's that history of people supporting each other through loss. There's a real sense of community there.
Hugely. And I mean, something that really struck me was that the league began at the Laird.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it began with a few people from the Laird going to Southern Cross Bowling. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it springs to mind for me a place like Thorn Harbour, who also was born from an idea at the Laird.
Ah, there you go.
The Laird, that's where it's all happening.
Yeah, yeah. I think they had their 40th birthday celebrations at the Laird, because that's over a little conversation between a couple of people. That's how the Victorian AIDS Council came about.
Yeah.
So for this bowling group to have come about in such a similar way, I think is really telling of the community space that the Laird has brought and continues to bring to the community.
I think, yeah, with the online communication that we were just talking about as well, like, you miss out on those opportunities if you're not in those spaces, in a brick and mortar space, just having some bants, I feel. Like, a lot of these things grew out of doing activities together in a physical space. And I notice that me going out into queer spaces, everyone wants to do stuff. Everyone wants to do activities. So it's very different than online.
Hugely.
And it's such a shame that we're losing out on that.
100%. And I mean, I've definitely seen it in my own life too, with doing the meetings in person. They, like, meeting up and doing crafts in person with people. That tends to bring queers together more than just saying, let's get a coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, having a shared activity, having a shared activity in real life where you can look at someone and be in community, not kind of just on this diasporic, like, periphery. Does that... Yep.
Yeah, that checks out 100%.
Yeah. And they have that feel. You just, you walk in there and it's not clicky, which is good, because otherwise that would be a barrier. But you do get that sense that you're walking into a group of people who have really gotten to know each other.
Mm.
You know, which frankly, a lot of queer spaces that are still up and running and are proud of the community that they have, on the other hand, in reality, are actually quite transient. You know, the membership is forever changing and moving. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. In some cases, what those groups are offering is something that people will take as they need it. And when they no longer need it, that's when they'll move on. And that's the intent of the group. But with this particular group, you know, it's clear that that's not what they're about. They're about forging a close-knit community of people who are queer.
I think that's a really interesting thing in the queer landscape at the moment. I mean, we all sort of began this conversation by saying how much we're not into sport.
Yeah. Yes.
And yet what we're talking about here is actually a closer community than what we're getting in non-sporting activities.
So, you know, one of the interviewees said that you don't have to play bowls, you know, we'll take anyone. Now, you know, that might sound like hyperbole, but in fact, there were people there who were not bowling.
Yeah.
They were there for the company.
Yeah. And just on sport, there are things like the Queer Sporting Alliance. Like, sport isn't for us sitting here in this room, but sport is a really big deal for the queer community because it is that team. You belong somewhere. Like, those places exist, and it's just not for us three.
Yeah. Well, speaking for myself, the key reason why I'm not doing any sports of any kind is simply because of my mobility problems due to my lower back. Mm. If I could somehow get past that, you know, I think a lot of the other health issues that I have would be solved by reigniting my interest in sport.
Mm.
Yeah. One of the things for me with sport was in the 80s, high school sport was really macho, and it probably is still today, but I'll just speak to my experience. I used to be heavily into soccer, heavily into cricket, right? And I used to be, you know, actually, and also heavily into baseball. So in year seven, for instance, I was in the high school's baseball team, and I was the high school baseball team's pitcher. So I wasn't just, you know, there for fun. I was the pitcher. Mm. 12 months later, I couldn't quite stand the macho nonsense that was really beginning to emerge amongst my fellow players. So I pulled out.
Yeah. I think that's a really interesting thing to have a look at with the 69ers as well, is you're talking about that butch, that macho, and like I think about maybe women's AFL and things like that, and you're still attracting, in my mind, quite a few butch identifying people. What was the room like with the 69ers?
Well, you know, there was a mixture, you know. It wasn't like, you know, there were gay men and butch lesbians. And so therefore somehow, you know, in a gay way, you know, stereotypically butch sport is being played by queers, you know, because it's being played by butch people. It's nothing like that at all. You know, Janice, you know, for instance, as an example, you know, Janice is just a nice lady, you know, who happens to be queer, you know, and who, you know, sort of expressed there, I think, that, you know, they're not necessarily, you know, somebody who, you know, finds it easy to make friends, you know. Although, you know, I've certainly found it easy to be friendly and make friends with them. But they sort of expressed how with this, you know, congregation, you know, they found friendship. And it's a mixture of friendship and acquaintanceship as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wonderful. That sounds like a good place for us to start off on our next song. But thank you so much, Mads, for taking the time to speak to the 69ers. And let's just give them a shout out. How can you join the league if you want to after listening to this wonderful interview?
So the 69ers 10-pin bowling league can be found online. And so if you Google it, you'll find it. And all the information is on their website. So they actually do have a website. And at the moment, they're congregating every Thursday at the Moorabbin Bowling Club or Bowling Centre. Just a heads up, if you go sometime, say, in the next few months, they may have moved to the Bowling Centre in Cheltenham.
Wonderful. And I'm sure they'll be able to find that information online on that website that they've got as to where they're going to be meeting.
Well, I've referred people to it, so I hope so.
We certainly hope so. Thanks again, Mads, for that.
No problem.
We are going to throw to another little ditty. This one by Soft Cells, and it's called Youth.
As this is the podcast version, this music is not part of the recording.
Do you have a few children's picture books or footy boots that your kids have outgrown but want to find them a loving home? Well, drop them in at 3CR and put them in the Books and Boots bin. Books and Boots regularly sends pre-loved children's picture books and sports footwear to remote and regional First Nations communities and children across the country. Contact us at Books and Boots or go to the website www.booksandboots.org.au. We love a good book.
Thank you.
panoply, panorama, panpipe, pansy, aha, pansexual, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. Sound interesting? Then join Sally on Sundays at noon for Out of the Pan. All those gender questions making you think too hard? Whether it's transgender, bisexual, polyamorous or beyond, we'll throw those questions into the pan and cook up the answers for you. So go on, push that gender envelope, only on 3CR 855am digital and 3cr.org.au.
Welcome back to Queering the Air with Atlas, Madison and Oscar.
Oh, thank you.
Before that little CSA we just heard for Books and Boots and Out of the Pan, we had the track Youth by Soft Cell.
Yes, Youth.
Youth.
It's skin deep, as the song goes.
Is it skin deep or is it there at all, Mads?
Philosophical.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
Or are you?
Lots of thinking in the room today, which bodes really well.
What is thinking, if you know what I mean?
What is
if
it?
If you know what I mean.
Well, I would really love for the three of us in the studio here today to have a think about something that's been on my mind recently.
Yes.
And that is quite a heavy topic at the moment. It is art versus the artist.
Yes. Mm.
And can we separate the two? And should we separate the two?
Yeah.
No, who could possibly come to mind with a topic like that?
As we sort of had a little discussion with before we got into the studio, so many.
Yes.
So many.
Too many.
Too many.
Yes.
But the person in particular, my favourite.
The extraordinaire of it, yes.
Yes.
The impresario of it.
Do we name the name?
We can.
J.K. Rowling.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Author of the Harry Potter books.
Whose name will not be said.
No.
Who's some people jokingly refer. I mean, I think that's a Voldemort reference.
It is. It absolutely is.
And now people say that about her name, understandably.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, you know, I think the key thing here is that whereas J.K. Rowling clearly expresses a view that they are not a transphobe, many people within the trans community most certainly find what J.K. has to say about trans community and trans people, particularly with regards to supposedly how we pose a threat to cisgendered women, to be exceedingly offensive.
I would be surprised if you were a trans person that did not find her views and the vitriol that she spills to be offensive.
Well, there's always the occasional pick-me girl or pick-me boy, isn't there? So for those who don't understand what that term means, somebody that decides to go to the dark side because it gets some more clicks.
Yes. In many cases, I think we see in the trans mass community stealth.
Yes.
Stealth. Which doesn't necessarily mean you're transphobic, to call that out quite clearly.
But
stealth is a mode you might do to protect yourself as well.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, the flip side, of course, here, the whole reason why this is a quandary is because of Harry Potter.
Yeah, and I just want to say it goes beyond her views and what she's said. She is directly funding the bodies that have successfully in the UK overturned like equality acts based on biological sex now, so you don't have the same protection.
So the Supreme Court of the UK ruled that UK's Anti-Discrimination Act does mention transgender people as a protected person, but only if they've undergone invasive surgery, essentially. And so those who have not are not a protected person as per the Anti-Discrimination Act within the UK. And so essentially, if they were going to, then Parliament would have to pass an amendment law. And until then, the UK Supreme Court upheld the Act as it's currently written. And J.K. Rowling was good enough to fund or be a big part of funding and supporting that court case that led to that decision.
And it's a very interesting phenomenon because of how long she stayed quiet for.
Did she? Did she stay quiet?
No, I think if you...
if you've read Harry Potter...
Yeah, if you look into the stories...
signs there.
There are definitely signs, but I mean, a bunch of us queer folk have been able to grow up with her as an icon, as a figure we look up to. And she wasn't quite so loud, I think, until at least I was an adult.
Yeah, like, Harry Potter to me is my childhood. That is my... that's a huge part of my identity, and this, like, it wasn't about JK, but it was about Harry Potter, and having someone who created your childhood just, you know, want you to burn in hell.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a central character that feels out of place, but then finds themselves in a place where they feel kind of welcome but challenged for who they are. It's not hard to see how a trans kid or even just a queer kid generally would find that an attractive storyline.
Yeah, like any marginalized child of any persuasion.
Of any kind, yeah.
Absolutely. That's why it was so massive, because it was... you know, giving that message of you, even though you're, you know, living under the stairs, you are great.
Yeah.
There's something special about you.
There's something, there's something worthy in that other people just don't see it. Like, that's it. And you go and you find your people and you're a wizard. Like,
and if you do find your people, then your powers will grow with time and understanding, and you'll overcome all kinds of adversity and,
quite an inspiring storyline almost for a young queer person.
Absolutely. Like, you know how The Matrix is very trans-coded? It's now the Wachowski sisters.
Wow.
We look back and at those films and it's very obvious.
Well, they now actually publicly state, they were coy about it for quite a while, but they now publicly state that that's what it was about.
Yeah, and if JK came out and was like, actually, this is about, like, trans liberation, like...
Wouldn't be surprising.
It would read well.
Mm.
But it's not that. It's a poison in my heart instead.
Yeah, and I mean, this isn't... we're talking specifically about JK Rowling right now, but it's not limited to JK.
No, it is not.
I'm very curious, Mads, you're from a slightly different age demographic than Oscar and I.
Yeah.
Do you have an example like this from your childhood?
Well, you know, an artist that would have made me feel like no matter how alien I am, no matter how out of worldly I am, so long as I can maintain my cool and my distance, I could be like David Bowie in some small way. You know, and yet the way that David Bowie clearly in the early years and throughout the 70s treated minors was questionable, in much the same way as it was, unfortunately, for so many of my rock and roll heroes. So, for instance, I can't bring myself anymore to play Gary Glitter.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary Glitter was huge for me. That sound was just everything, you know. And again, another out-of-worldly characterization made me feel, you know, that maybe I could be something. This person was, on multiple occasions charged and convicted with sex offences towards minors. How do you separate that? And in the case of Gary Glitter, I can't. In the case of David Bowie, for some reason, I find myself occasionally skipping Bowie when it's up on my shuffle play, and at other times not. It just depends on the song. Whereas with Gary, it's like, nah, mate.
Get off my playlist.
Get off my playlist.
That just hurts.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
I'd like to, we've only got a couple of minutes left.
Yeah.
And I'd just really like to end this little chat with a call out to somebody who is a celebrity that is currently making good waves for our community. And I want a little shout out to Pedro Pascal.
Yes.
Pedro, Daddy Pedro.
Daddy Pedro. famous for recently coming out in a Protect the Doll shirt. The dolls being a reference to transgender women.
Yes.
And it's also started a little bit of discourse of calling trans men action figures. And I'm incredibly about this.
I love that. I hadn't heard that. Take it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just wanted to end that on a slightly lighter note as, you know, talking about these childhood heroes can be a little heavy when we're talking about the ways in which they've disappointed us.
Yes.
Yeah, it makes me angry just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Trans men and trans women from Mattel.
Exactly. So, this has been Queering the Air on 3CR Radical Radio, 855 on your AM dial, via 3CR Digital, and available online at www.3cr.org.au/queeringtheair. Next up, we have Salaam Radio Show. And before we hear from Salaam, and please do stay tuned for them, they're a wonderful show.
Yeah.
We are going to treat you to another little ditty called Who Treats You Right by Pansy.
As this is the podcast version, this music is not part of the recording.